Now we are heading to the Apostles' Feast, which starts the next day after the glorious feast of Pentecost, in which the Holy Spirit came down upon the disciples like tongues of fire. And this feast ends by the feast of the martyrdom of St. Peter and St. Paul. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples like tongues of fire, symbolizing that they will start to preach, that the tongues start to preach and spread the gospel of the kingdom of God. And most like tongues of fire, because they will preach the word of God in a fiery spirit. And that's why the day of Pentecost is the day in which the Church of the New Testament is established. And the apostles, when they preach the word of God in the whole world, actually they were establishing the Church in the whole world. And that's why today I'd like to speak with you about the concept of the Church. And there are many definitions of the Church, but actually all these definitions are not complete, because they reflect one aspect or another from the Church. For example, we can say the Church is the body of Christ, is the bride of Christ, or the Church is the Ark of Noah, or the Church is the assembly of the believers, or the Church is the Church of the firstborn. All these are titles and definitions of the Church. But if we read the early fathers of the Church, they had a holistic concept and understanding of the Church. And today, I'd like to discuss with you the definition of the Church according to St. Clement of Alexandria. And when we understand together this definition of the Church, we will see how St. Clement had a complete understanding of the Church. First, I will read to you his definition of the Church, and then I'll speak about it, word by word. He said, the Church is divine fellowship of repentant sinners who trust in their Savior and enjoy the unity with Him and with one another in Him through the Holy Spirit. The first point in this definition of the Church explains our relationship with the Holy Trinity. Usually the common definitions of the Church, like the bride of Christ or the body of Christ, it only discusses our relationship with the Son. And actually, in our prayers, usually we focus only on the Son. And we don't pray, many of us in our personal prayers, we don't address the Father or the Holy Spirit. But actually, the early father of the Church, they understood the Church as relationship with the Holy Trinity, with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So what is our relationship with the Holy Trinity? What's our relationship with the Holy Trinity? The Holy Spirit, through His action in the sacraments, unites us with the Son. The Holy Spirit makes us one with the Son. For example, in baptism, in the sacrament of baptism, St. Paul says, you who are baptized, you put on Christ. Through the action of the Holy Spirit in baptism, we put on Christ. in confirmation. The Holy Spirit abides in us. And because the Holy Spirit is one with the Son, so when the Holy Spirit abides in us, He makes us one also with the Son. In the sacrament of reconciliation and confession, the Holy Spirit, through forgiveness of our sins and purification, make us also reconciled with the Son and become one with the Son. Because there is no fellowship between darkness and light. And we cannot become one with the Son except if we are reconciled and we, our sins are forgiven. And through the action of the Holy Spirit in the communion, we become also one with Christ. He who eats my body and drinks my blood will dwell in me, will dwell in me and I in me. So the Holy Spirit unites us with the Son. And in the Son, we become children of God the Father. Only in the Son, we can call God the Father our Father, and we can call Him our Father who art in Him. So, what's our relationship with the Holy Trinity? The Holy Spirit unites us with the Son, and in the Son, we become children of God the Father. And as St. Paul said, if we are children, then we are inherit, and we can inherit the kingdom of God. Only the children can inherit the kingdom of God. So how can we be saved? How can we have inheritance in the kingdom of God? Only if we are children. We cannot inherit the kingdom of God unless we become children. And how we become children? It is through our unity with the Son. And how can we become one with the Son? That's through the action of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand this. To have fellowship with God the Father, to be His children, to inherit the kingdom of God, we must become His children. And to be His children, we have to be one with the Son. And to be one with the Son, that's through the action of the Holy Spirit. And that's why St. Clement said, the church is divine fellowship. It is fellowship with God the Father. What kind of this fellowship? It, we are His children and He is our Father. So it is the fellowship, it is divine fellowship. It is, we become His children, divine fellowship. And this divine fellowship in Him, in Him means in the Son. And how? As He said, through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. So this divine fellowship with God the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. And that's why the catechumens are the non-believers or non-Christians who wanted to convert to Christianity, but they are not yet baptized. And they receive the teaching of the church. The catechumens were not allowed to pray the Lord's Prayer. Why? Because the Lord's Prayer starts with our Father. And they are not yet baptized. So they cannot call God the Father and call Him or address Him our Father. Because the only granted this blessing or this grace through baptism. They are able to call God their Father only after baptism. And that's why they were not allowed to call God the Father, their Father, unless after their baptism. And that's why after the fraction, you know, fraction is this, is a part of the Holy Liturgy in which Abuna breaks the bread, is the Holy Body. That's what we call it, the fraction, Salat al-Isra. In the fraction, we conclude usually the fraction with the Lord's Prayer. Because at this moment, we reach the highest level in the divine liturgy. And that's why I want you to think how we prepare ourselves to pray the Lord's Prayer. Usually, Abuna in the fashion say, purify our bodies, our spirits, our souls, our thoughts, our intentions, our consciences, in order to dare with boldness, without fear, to call God, your Father, the Father of the Son, our Father, and say, our Father, what is it? So actually, the Lord's Prayer, to be able to pray this prayer and to call God our Father, we need to be purified. And we need to have this boldness. And this boldness, we cannot get it except through the purification and the action of the Holy Spirit. So, the first point in the definition of Saint Clement to the church is our relationship not only with the Son, but with the Holy Trinity, with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It is divine fellowship. It is divine fellowship with God the Father. We are His children. And this divine fellowship, it is in the Son, held through the action of the Holy Spirit. And actually, Saint Clement didn't invent this definition. Actually, he called this definition from the letter of Saint John. Saint John, in his first letter, chapter 1, he said, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. You also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father. That's what St. Clement said. It is divine fellowship. That church is divine fellowship. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This divine fellowship with the Father, it is through our unity with the Son, Jesus Christ. And this unity with the Son, Jesus Christ, it is through the action of the Holy Spirit. So, St. John says, it is our fellowship with one another. And again, St. Clement said, as we enjoy unity with Him and with one another. So that the fellowship with one another, and our fellowship is truly with the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. So, that is the first point. The church is divine fellowship. So the church is not a human organization. When we speak about the church, we speak about this fellowship with the Holy Trinity. The church is divine fellowship. Saint Clement said, he didn't say the church is divine fellowship of sins, or the church is divine fellowship of martyrs, or the church is divine fellowship of holy people, or the church is divine fellowship of believers. But he said, the church is divine fellowship of repentant sinners. And what's the importance of calling the church divine fellowship of repentant sinners? Because he is here emphasizing on the fact that we are sinners. Nobody is without sin, even though his life on earth but a single day. And as St. John said, if we say that we are without sin, we are lying. No one can claim that he is without sin. But there is a problem. Because sin means death, the which sin is death. Sin means darkness. And as St. Paul said in his first letter to Corinthians, there is no fellowship between darkness and light. And there is no fellowship between evil and righteousness. And there is no fellowship between God and the kingdom of darkness. So now, if all of us are sinners, how can we have fellowship with God the Father? How can we have this fellowship with God the Father? And that's why he added the word repent. Yes, we are sinners, but God gave us the gift of repentance. Because only through the repentance we can have fellowship with God the Father. So we must differentiate between two types of sinners. Because everybody is a sinner. Nobody is without sin. But we must differentiate between two types of sinners. The repentant sinners and the unrepentant sinners. And I want you to notice here that only the repentant sinners are members in the church. Only the repentant sinners are members in the church. We cannot be members in the church without repentance. Those who don't live the life of repentance, they are not members of the church. How St. John the Baptist prepared the whole world to be advent of Christ? How? By calling them to repent. To repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. And only through the repentance we can accept the Lord and we can enter into this fellowship with Him. So it is not because your name on the membership list that you are a member of the church. It is not because you come every Sunday you are a member of the church. It is not because you have activity in the church and you are in this committee or in that committee, you are a member of the church. It is only through repentance you are a member of the church. We can have all kinds of activity in the church, but without the life of repentance, we are not members of the church. So, how can we become members? Through the life of repentance. As St. John Climacus said, blessed is the repentance that transforms the adulterous into virgins. That is the power of repentance. That's the power of repentance that changes the life of St. Moses the Black. This is the life of, this is the power of repentance that changed the life of St. Augustine and St. Mary the Egyptian. This is the power of repentance that changed the thief on the cross and made him inheritant of the kingdom of God. So we shouldn't be discouraged because of our many sins, because God gives us this blessing of repentance. And through repentance, we can become members in the church. So, the church is divine fellowship of repentant sinners. The church is divine fellowship of repentant sinners. Who trust in their Savior. Who trust in their Savior. Meaning what? Trust in their Savior. What is the gate into the church? The gate. It is through our faith in God, our faith in Christ. It is if we believe in Him, if we trust in Him, we will be saved. The last chapter of the Gospel of St. John, he said, and many other signs the Lord Jesus did. But these were written to you in order to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if you believe in Him, you will have eternal life. It is only through believing in Him, trusting the Savior, we will have eternal life. And if you believe in Him, you will have eternal life. Believe in Him means to believe in His words, to believe in His promises, to believe in His command, to follow Him without questioning, to follow Him without doubting His promises. Because the devil tried to make us doubt the promises of God. Many people have these thoughts. What if after we kept our life according to the commandments of God, and then we find out there is no death, or Christianity is not the right way? So, and many doubts can arise inside our hearts. But all these doubts will be like a barrier, a stumbling block in our salvation. We must trust our Savior. And what's the trust in the Holy Bible and in the Holy Scripture? And what's the trust every word we hear? And we keep it. We know that if we keep the commandment of God, and if we live according to the commandment of God, we will be saved. There is no other name that we can be saved, except the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is only His name that grants us salvation. And we should have this strong faith, strong confidence in the Lord. Like the disciples, the Lord, when He called the disciples, they left everything and followed Him. Everything. Matthew left his job, as a tax collector, left the place and followed the Christ. John and James, they left their profession as fishermen and left their father as the Gospel of St. Matthew 6 and followed Christ. Peter and Andrew did the same. And that's why St. Peter said to the Lord once, we left everything and we followed Him. Why they left everything and they followed Him? Because they trusted in Him. They trusted that He is Christ, the Son of the living God. And if they follow Him, when Christ, He went after His life on earth, He went to heaven. So if we follow Him, we will end up where? In heaven. As He ascended to heaven, so also we will end up in heaven. But if we follow anybody else, then our end will be similar to His end. The Lord Jesus Christ, after His life on earth ended, He ascended to heaven. So to follow Him, our life will end. So, church is built in this rock of faith. And again, St. Clement didn't the church is built on the rock of faith. You know, all of you know the story of St. Peter, when he said to the Lord, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said to him, you are Peter. And upon this rock, the rock of faith, that I am Christ, the Son of the living God, I am the Savior of the world. Upon this rock, I will build my church. So the church is built on this foundation. The church is built on this foundation that Christ, that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus is our Savior. That's the foundation of the church. And that's why we cannot define the church without referring to this foundation, to trust in the Savior, to trust that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the whole world. The church is the fellowship of repentant sinners who trust their Savior. I'm repeating the definition because by the end of the sermon, I want all of you to memorize this definition because it is a complete definition of the church. And I want you to memorize it because this definition covers almost everything about the church. So the church is the divine fellowship of repentant sinners who trust their Savior. One con finiĝo fermita Kristo kontraŭ nia ĝojo. Ĝojo. The life of joy. And that's why St. Clement said, contrast their Savior and enjoy their unity with Him. Enjoy their unity with Him. You know, from the time of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, when the angel appeared to the shepherd and announced to them the birth of Christ, He told them, I am bringing you great joy. Great joy. The wise men, when they saw the star, they rejoiced. And we can follow this joy. Even in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, He said to the disciples, in the world you will have many tribulations and trials, but I will see you, and you will rejoice. And nobody can take your joy away from you. Nobody can take your joy away from you. And after the resurrection, when the Lord appeared to the disciples, they rejoiced. Great joy. See, for example, St. Paul, when he was in the prison, he wrote a letter to the people in Philippi. And this letter is the letter of joy. You know, a prisoner sending a letter to the people outside the prison, telling them to rejoice in the Lord always. And I say again, rejoice. How can he ask them to rejoice unless if he is filled with joy? The joy is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy. Even in the time of suffering, suffering cannot take the joy away from us. We read in the book of Acts, when the priests and the chief priests arrested the disciples and asked them not to preach the word of God. In Acts chapter 5, it says, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, so they beat the apostles, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council. In what manner? Grieving, mourning because they were beaten? No. The Bible says, so they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And dealing in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So that is the manner of the Christian. The Christian, all the time, they were rejoicing. They were happy. They were filled with joy. Greed doesn't know its way to the heart of the Christian. You know, at the end of the liturgy, the priest says in one of the prayers, in audible prayers, our mouth is filled with joy, and our hearts with gladness concerning, you know, our communion. It says in the early centuries, when an unbeliever goes back, you know, goes to his house rejoicing, so his family asked him, what happened? Did you meet a Christian? Did you meet a Christian today? So just meeting a Christian brings his joy into the heart of the person. And it is not right when we say, no, the church is boring. According to St. Clement, the church is a joyful experience. enjoy their unity with Him, enjoy being with God. If we think that the church is boring, then there's something wrong with me, because I cannot enjoy my presence with God. The saints, usually, they want to spend all their life in the presence of God, praying and meditating. We hear about Saint Arsenius. He used to start praying at the sunset. Once he was looking or facing east, so at the sunset, the sun is in his back. And he prays until the sun arrives and comes from the east in his face. So actually, he was spending all the night praying without eating food. He is enjoying the unity with Christ, with God. That is the experience of the Christian. There was a monastery. This monastery was headed by Saint Apollo. Saint Apollo was abbot of this monastery. And Saint Apollo, if he saw a monk that's not happy or not depressed, so he looked at him and asked him, "Are you Christian?" So the monk says, "Yeah, of course I'm Christian, I'm a monk. Why you ask me, are you Christian?" He says, "Because you look unhappy. And if you are Christian, Christian means you have Christ in your heart. So if you are Christian, you should be happy." And it say this monastery, all the monks were rejoicing all the time. There is no place for any unhappy monk to live in this monastery. Because if you are Christian, you should be happy. You should be rejoicing all the time. And that's what Saint Clement.